welcome to the Calvary Came Through broadcast from Chattanooga, Tennessee. We invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes to listen to a message from the Word of God by Evangelist Tracy Trivett. Join us now as we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and how Calvary can come through for you.
Hello and welcome again to the Calvary Came Through radio broadcast. This is Tracy Trivett, your host. It's good for you to join us today. I pray that the Word of God will be a help and a blessing to you. If you would, take your Bibles and go to Isaiah chapter number 6. Isaiah chapter number 6, and we're going to read a few verses of Scripture here. And I want to think on the thought of getting the main thing back as the main thing. Something happens in Isaiah chapter number 6 that forever changed his life. It changed the way he looked at people. It changed the way he looked at himself. And he was forever changed and forever impacted by what happened in his life in chapter number 6. Read along with me as we begin in verse number 1. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke." Notice verse 5. "Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Verse 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? And then said I, Here am I, send me." Let's pray and speak on the thought, getting the main thing back as the main thing. Lord Jesus, I confess that I need you today. Lord, I pray that if you would take any part of Tracy that is left, any part of me that stands in the way, God, and I pray that you'd get it out of me, because there is nothing in me that's going to accomplish any good. There's nothing in me that's going to make a difference. But God, it's your working in my heart and through the hearts of those who hear your word that's only going to make a difference and only going to make a change. So take the word and use it for your glory, because you alone are worthy. It's in your name we pray. Amen and amen. D.L. Moody said that Isaiah is the little Bible inside your Bible. The chapters of Isaiah are chock full of all different kinds of messages and prophecies and stories. But what happens in chapter 6 is something that you don't find in any other part of Isaiah, and for that matter, in either part of the Word of God. You see something that takes place and something that happens in Isaiah's life that by application should happen in mine and your life, that changed him and that I believe would change me and you. Isaiah comes face to face with a holy God, and when he sees him, something happens in his heart, and he is not able and he cannot leave the same way that he came in. When Isaiah stood face to face with God, the Lord did surgery on his heart. He performed a miracle in his life, and he was forever changed by the events of chapter number 6. May I say today that in our world today, more than we need a new program, more than we need a new theory or a new theology, what the Church of Jesus Christ needs, what the body of Christ needs more than anything, is simply just to come face to face one more time with the Holy God, to see Him for who He is, and let His truth and His righteousness and His holiness pierce our souls, set aside everything that tangles us up, get to the heart of the matter and get to the truth of who we are, that we may decrease and that He may increase inside of us. Because I promise you, when He shows up, you have to get out of the way. There cannot be a little bit of you and a little bit of God. It's either all of Him or none of Him. And when Isaiah sees God in chapter number 6, something big happens. And he realizes when he sees him that he's on the little end of something big. By the time you get to verse 8, Isaiah is ready and willing to do whatever God wants him to do. What happened? What was it that took place in his life? What is happening in chapter number 6 that needs to take place in mine and your lives? Well, I'm glad you asked. Follow me. Three things, and then we'll be done this afternoon. The first thing that happened when Isaiah came in contact with God is, number one, his focus was changed. Look at verse number 1 again. He said, in the year that, notice this, King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. Now, King Uzziah and Isaiah were cousins. And if you read the writings of Isaiah, it is very clear that he thought highly of King Uzziah, and with good reason. King Uzziah was a holy king. He was a good king. He was a God-honoring king. And there was good reason that Isaiah looked to him. Not only were they related, but in some ways, I would like to say that King Uzziah had become a hero of the faith for Isaiah. And in his writings and in the historical facts, you can tell that Isaiah thought very highly of King Uzziah. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when I read that it was not until King Uzziah died, not until King Uzziah was removed from the picture, not until there was nothing else for Isaiah to see, not until there was nothing else to grab his attention or buy for his time, nothing else to try to win him over, when there was nothing else left, then, and only then, he saw the Lord sitting upon his throne, high and lifted up. It reminds me today that there's nothing wrong with heroes of the faith. There's nothing wrong with your job and having that as a priority in your life. There's nothing wrong with lifting your wife or your family or your friends up on pedestals. There's nothing wrong with having different things in your life. But when that thing becomes the main thing in your life, then friend, your focus needs to be changed. If there's something else in your view, if there's something else in your sight besides Him and Him alone, then friend, your focus is out of whack. When Isaiah had nothing else, when everything else was taken aside, when everything else was out of the picture, he was able to see God for who He was. May I say today that the greatest need in my heart, the greatest need in the church's heart today, is not, as I said earlier, anything else, anything more, a new version, a new revelation. What we need is just for me and you to get everything else out of the way, to chunk aside our pride, to chunk aside our knowledge, our education, everything that we hold dear, the way that we think things ought to be, the way that we opinionate doctrine, and the way we opinionate the book. We don't need no more opinions. We need to get every bit of me and you out of the picture. Everything that we're looking to, everything that we're hanging on to, has got to be set aside in order that we may not gain something, not in order that we may achieve something, but simply that we might see Him, that we might get a new revelation of Him, see Him more beautiful and more precious and more holy and more wonderful than we've ever seen Him before. Because, friend, that is the only thing that will ever make a difference in our life. How did he see Him? Isaiah sees Him and something big happens in his heart. Something crawls all over him and there's a change made. Well, how did he see the Lord? Notice, first of all, he saw Him on His throne. That speaks of authority. It is a picture of someone that is in complete control. When God is seated on His throne, it means it's established. The psalmist says that He has established His throne in the heavens. In other words, He cannot be voted out. He cannot be discharged. The thing is settled. Before the foundation of the world, He was God. And when this thing's all said and done, He's still going to be God. But when Isaiah saw Him, he saw Him seated on His throne. When he saw that, Isaiah was clear to him that God was portrayed in a picture of authority. He was portrayed as the person, the only one worthy to be on the throne. My question to you is this: who's on the throne in your heart? Who's on the throne in your life? Is it your job? Is it money? Is it your reputation? Is it your friends? Is it your family? Is little Billy's batting average more important than the Holy Spirit in your life? Is your financial CDs and stocks and bonds the precious thing in your heart? Or is it meeting with Him? Is it seeing Him? him.
If that's the case, then friend, you need to do some changes in the throne in your life. You say, I want to be changed. I want more of God in my life. I want to see His blessings on my family and on my home. Well, friend, unless He's on the throne, then don't ever approach the throne to get anything. Because if He ain't on the throne, then the one sitting on the throne will never bless you, will never touch you, can never keep you. He saw Him on the throne in that place of authority. Not only that, He saw Him as high and lifted up. In other words, He saw Him exalted. He saw Him large. He saw Him big. He saw Him above all else. How big is your God? How lofty? How high? How lifted up is your God in your life? Do you have such a small God that when a storm blows your way, you cry and you whimper and say, what am I going to do? Friend, I don't know about you, but my God is the one who created the storm. He's the one who, when He made Himself in the flesh, was walking on the storm. And last time I checked, when this thing's all said and done, He'll be the one still in control of the storm. My God is high and lifted up. He's exalted above all else that I can face, above all things that can come after me. Jesus said, not even the gates of hell can prevail against me, not against His church, not against the calling, not against the chosen, not against the ones that He's qualified, because He is high and lifted up. But friends, I believe that what He's looking for in mine and your life is not for me and you to prove our worthiness or prove our education or anything else. I think He's just looking for me and you to say, you are high and lifted up in my life. To give Him that place of authority one more time and say, you're on the throne in my heart. You're on the throne in my life. You're high and lifted up. You're bigger than anything this world can give me. You're bigger than anything I could ever dream of or want. God, you're on the throne. You're high. You're exalted. And you're mine. You're my God, and there is none else like you. As Larry Brown so eloquently put it, there ain't nobody like Him. He saw Him high and lifted up. But notice lastly, He saw Him as holy. 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 S.M. Lockridge said that one of the angels tried to describe Him, and the only words he can muster up was holy. 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 And then when the other ones tried to muster up something else, another way to describe Him, and all he could say was holy. 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 And over down through the streets of heaven, the angels were trying to tell the people about it, trying to tell the others about it, but all they could say was holy. 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 And today, all through the corridors of heaven, down the golden streets, the shout still rings out, holy. 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 When He saw Him holy, it changed Him. Notice these were angels of worship. Look at verse 3. And one cried unto another, said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The earth is full of His glory. Their job was simply to give Him praise, to magnify and show who He was. Their job was nothing more than just to fly around and tell everybody else that He was holy. May I say today that we are supposed to be just like these angels. Our lives and our mouths and our testimonies should be telling the world around us of a holy God. But what have we done? We've brought Him down to our level. He's not a holy guy. He's Big Daddy in the sky. He's the big G. If you're a soccer mom, He drives a minivan. And we've made Him just whatever we wanted Him to be. We've taken this God off of His throne, out of His high and lofty position, and we've turned Him into whatever would fit into our mold and to fit into our quims, to meet our needs and to fit our opinions. Friend, He can't fit into any of your boxes. He can't fit into any of our religion. He can't fit into any of our denominations. He can't fit into any of our theology. He can't fit into any of our ideas or any opinions that we may have. Friend, He didn't need you. He was in this business long before you got here. And He'll be running the show long after you're gone. He's God and He's holy. And He is holy for all eternity. He don't need you to muster up some idea and some way to describe who He is. It's simply true. He's on the throne. He's high and lifted up. And He's holy. Friend, what is He to you today? Where is your focus? Now, I'm not talking about in your job or in your family, but in your life in general, in your spiritual life, where is your focus today? Are you caught up in the middle of a storm? Has the clouds and the things around you, has it caught your attention? Have you sold out and bought into the lives of the devil in the world, and you've cast your lot with them and turned your focus to something else? Friend, God's crying out to you with mercy and compassion, but with the same words as a holy and just God could be, turn your focus back to me. Set your eyes back to Him. When Isaiah saw God, he had no choice but to be focused on Him. And if you're ready and you're seriously willing for a face-to-face encounter with Him, hunker down and hold on tight, because it will change your life. And you will not be able to focus on the world or on anything else. You will be focused on Him. When Isaiah saw Him, his focus was changed. But not only that, I want you to notice his fervor was changed. Look at verse 5, would you? In verse 5, he says, "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone." Now you go previous to chapter 6, and Isaiah is woeing everything and everybody. Now, granted, he was called to God. He was sent from God to prophesy and to send the warnings of judgment and of wrath. But Isaiah was woeing. I'm talking about everybody and everything. He was woeing their hair. If you was an ugly woman, guess what? He was going to woe you. If you was an ugly man, he's liable to woe you. He was woeing everybody. But something happened in verse 5 of chapter 6. Isaiah had just came face to face with God. And the first thing that happens when you see God is you are going to see yourself. And when he came to verse 5 of this chapter, he wasn't able to say, "God, you know what they're doing down there at that Baptist church. You know what they're doing. You know what so-and-so did. Man, he's a gossiper. He's a liar. He's an adulterer." Nope. Isaiah had no excuses. The thumb of God had been pressed upon his heart, and he had nowhere else to turn. He couldn't hide from his sins. He couldn't deny his sins. God had opened up the cavity of his heart and shown him the blackness that lied within him. And he said, "Woe, woe is me." He came face to face with God, and the first thing he saw was himself. He said, "For I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips." The first step was him just being real with God. There was no hiding. There was no denying. He had seen God as the holy, righteous, just God that he was. And when he seen him, his focus was changed. And I don't think he enjoyed nor expected what happened next. But it was as if God turned his holy finger to the black heart of Isaiah and said, "Yes, I'm holy, but you are undone." And he pointed his sins and the reality of who he was. I don't know about you, but there's so many times in my life where I make excuses and I piddle-paddle around and I say, "Oh, it ain't that bad. Yeah, I told a little story there, but God, you knew my heart. I didn't mean any harm." We piddle-paddle around and look at things and listen to things and say it's no big deal. Sin is still sin. The blackness will still bring judgment. The wages of sin is still death, and it's about time in my life and in yours we got back to calling sin what it was. It's not a mistake. It's a mark. It's a blemish. It's something that will blacken your heart, that will separate you from God. It's still the wall that will bring us between judgment and mercy. It's the difference that's made in every heart. Isaiah saw himself and he said, "My goodness, I am undone." There wasn't no denying it. He couldn't hide it. There was no use calling a committee to vote on it. He was undone. And he admitted it to God and to himself. Now notice what happens to his fervor. He admitted and he called sin what it was. Now look what happens next. Not only himself, but he noticed his surroundings. He said, "And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Now that God, he's not tattling here. He's not running to God and going, "God, now that I'm right, I got some things to share with you. So-and-so and Sister Bertha better than you has been running their mouth and this and that. Lord, they got the vilest mouths. They're just full of iniquity. God, you ought to really judge them." That's not what he's doing here. Isaiah saw himself and he was reminded of his sins. And God began to do a remarkable work of forgiveness and restoration in his heart. And when he got back to where God needed him to be, God birthed inside him a burden. And he was not able to just see himself and let those sins go by. He had to deal with them. But when he saw the sins of his people, he wasn't able to just wink at it anymore or blush at it anymore. He got a burden for it. And he had to tell them, I've seen the King and he's holy. I've seen the Lord of hosts and he's able to forgive. He got a fervor that was changed about himself and about his surroundings. When God got a hold of Isaiah, it did a difference and it did a work in himself. And it all came by simply coming face to face with a holy, holy, holy God. And when he did, he was forced to not only see God for who he was, but he had to see Isaiah for who he was. There comes a time and a point in every one of our lives, and in mine, it comes several times a day, it seems like, where we are faced with the reality of who we are. You will try to be a great Christian and you'll try to be this and you'll try to be that, but guess what? Your best attempts are just like filthy rags to God and it ain't going to make a bit of difference. And we fail and we stumble and we're faced with the choice to realize who we are or to brush it off as sin. I believe the change that would take place in God's house and in God's people that we desperately need would come when we would just come to the point where we realize. And we begin to call sin what it is one more time. It'll come from seeing God for who He is. And when we do, we will be faced with ourselves as altogether ugly. We'll see ourselves for that wretch that we are. And I think it'll be good for us because we'll be reminded one more time how far He came to save me and you. You say you don't know how far I've gone. No, you're right, I don't. I don't know the mistakes you made, but if this Bible's true, if you'll confess your sins, then He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But even for me, was it enough for me and Him? We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Yes, we're sinners. Yes, we deserve judgment and we deserve hell. But friend, if you'll step down off of your pedestal, and you'll get real with yourself and get real with God and say, here I am. I'm undone, God. I'm a man of unclean lips. That confession that says, God, I've fooled myself and I've tried to fool all those around me. But I can't fool you. You know my heart that I'm undone. You know that in my life and in my soul, God, things are not right between me and you. Therefore, take me, let me see you for who you are. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Then, and only then, can I teach transgressors thy ways. God, do that work in me again. You say, I want to see him, Tracy. Are you sure? Because it may get ugly. You sure you want to see him? You want to come in contact with him? Well, then get ready, because you're going to have to see yourself. When Isaiah saw him, his focus was changed. When Isaiah saw him, his fervor was changed. Notice lastly, when Isaiah saw him, he had come to the realization that he was on the throne, that he was exalted and that he was high and lifted up, that he was holy. When he saw him and he realized who God was, he noticed himself and his fervor was changed. He seen himself and he seen his surroundings. But the next thing that took place, I believe, is part of the pattern and the design for what God does in somebody when they come face to face with Him. Notice lastly, His following was changed. His following was changed. When Isaiah finds God and he sees himself for who he is, you get down to verse 8 and you find out that his iniquity had been purged. That his sins had been taken away from him. That unclean lips and that undone man that used to stand before God has been restored by the miraculous power of simply who He is. And when you come to verse 8, God's got a question for Isaiah. And He says that I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And whom will go for us? Then said I, Lord, I'm going to have to check my schedule and make sure that I can. I don't know what kind of Bible you got. Mine doesn't say that. It says, then said I, here am I, send me. He didn't stutter, he didn't stammer, he didn't weigh it out, check it out with the wife, pray about it, vote on it, contemplate it, meditate on it, or even send in a letter with money to somebody in a prayer partner chamber to help him decide what he ought to do. He had come face to face with God, and a change happened in his life. I believe that this is still the case in the way that God works in people's hearts. It always works the same. They come face to face with Him. The Holy Spirit starts knocking, and they see God for who He is. The righteous, holy, spotless Son of God who died for them. That conviction comes over their heart. They will confess their sins. Say, I'm undone. He makes the change, purges their sins. And I believe with all my heart that a true fruit and the proof of that difference of someone who really came in contact with God, who was really changed in their focus and in their fervor, the next thing that will happen is their following will be changed. They cannot be the same way anymore. They can't go down the same road. They can't hang out with the same people. They can't watch the same things, listen to the same things, dress the same way. Oh, you're just being fickle. Maybe, but I'm having fun. Let me preach. You can't look at the same things or be the same way. You ain't the same daddy. You ain't the same mama. You ain't the same Sunday school teacher. God can change your heart. And I believe when God calls you, no matter how weak your abilities may be, no matter how undone you thought you was, no matter how far you thought you had gone, He calls and you don't contemplate it. He says, who will go for us? And Isaiah didn't stutter. He didn't stammer. He didn't look around for somebody else to pop up, maybe beat him to the punch. God said, I believe God didn't even get it halfway out of his mouth. He had to type it out in the words here so we'd know what was going on. I believe God said, who? And Isaiah said, here am I. Send me. He didn't wait around for somebody to give him permission or to pray about it or to think about what God's will was. God had called, therefore he went. And friend, there's a lot of people warming our pews today who God has called and called and called. Who will go? Who will go? Who will go? Well, maybe the pastor should do it. You know, he's been in the ministry longer than I have. And, you know, I'd go to the nursing home. I'd go to the jail. I'd go to the mission. But you know, they've got so many people already involved in that. I'd just rather stay out of the way. The whole time God's tattooing your heart. Who will go? He's not waiting on you to give Him excuses about your abilities. He's waiting for you to show Him the truth of your availability. To say, God, I don't know how. And that's usually the way it'll work, friend. He'll call and you'll go to, what? I don't know how, God. I can't see this thing working out with any good in it. But God, You called me. That's all I need to know. I'll follow. Here am I. In me. I don't understand it, God. The way's dark, it's unsure. All I know is I've seen You. And when I seen You, You changed my heart. When I seen You, You changed my life. God, You showed me myself. You showed me who I was. And You showed me a world around me dying without You. God, I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know that I'll ever be able to accomplish much for You, but God, You've called me. So I'm going to pack up and I'm going to go. I think about Abraham. God calls him. Says, I want you to go somewhere. I want you to pack up everything you got. Tell the wife and everybody else, throw your stuff in a bag and head out. Start out. Didn't tell him where he was going. Didn't tell him how he was going to make it. But I love it. Every time the next verse will say, so Abraham went. So Abraham packed up. So Abraham, not knowing, loaded up everything and said, all right, God, I'm going to follow You. May God improve our sowing to say, so Tracy went. God called and so Tracy talked. So Tracy witnessed. So Tracy preached. It was scary. It was dark. But friends, I believe if you've truly seen Him, He'll change your life forever. His focus was changed. His fervor was changed and His following was changed. Lord, take this word and bless it. God, may You get all the glory for everything that's said and done. It's in Your name we pray. Amen and amen.
It is our prayer that today's message has been a help and blessing to you. If you would like to receive a free CD copy of today's message, simply write to Brother Tracy at Calvary Came Through, care of Temple Baptist Church, 3204 Clio Avenue, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 877-207-4007. This program is also rebroadcast on the internet at www.calvarycamethrough.info. You can email Brother Tracy at tracy@calvarycamethrough.info. Please join us again next week at this same time as we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and how Calvary can come through for you.